made this morning possible. You know, as I stand here and I was thinking just this week, 28 years ago this week, I walked across the stage and your mother walked across the stage at Harrelson County High School. I think it may have been on the 30th, I'm not sure. But at any rate, 28 years ago this week. You know, I had spent most of my life trying to get away from Tallapoosa, and I succeeded to a certain degree. The Lord allowed me to go live in New Orleans, Louisiana for about 3.5 years while I attended the best Southern Baptist seminary that we have to offer. That's for me and Dr. McBride out there. And then, of course, being able to go and serve at some larger churches in Kingsport and in Anniston. You know, all the time, I thought that His plan was for me to lead men and women and children within a larger church setting. But God had other plans. All the time I had spent getting away, God used as time to prepare me. To re-enter the life of a small town, it never occurred to me that Tallapoosa was my beginning and it will be my end. As I stand here at 46 years old, I'm not going anywhere else. Tallapoosa's it for me. I've chased the dream. You are about to begin, Nicole and Cassidy. You are about to begin upon a great journey. We are living life together through senior graduation. What a glorious time. Everybody has experienced it for the better part, at least one time, if not themselves, but through their children. Some have been blessed to live it through their grandchildren. But it brings back memories. These memories flood me about what our graduation was like. People crying, slobbering, and all that kind of good stuff. And you think, oh, we're never... And then 28 years later, I have been out of school and away from my closest friends when I was in school. And I spent time with them. But that's just the way life is, isn't it? But as you begin your journey, I have some things that I want to share with you. We're here today to celebrate with you and your family. We are excited, as Tallapoosa First Baptist, we are excited about this chapter you now close and about the chapter which you are about to write. We are honored that you have allowed us to live life with you and truly excited and extend the invitation to continue to do so. It is our desire, as you go to college, that we not just become someplace you flash into once a year. We want to continue this relationship that we have with you because we want to live life with you as you go through your college years, as you find that someone special, as they invite you to marry them and you go through that period of your life, as you get married. We want to be there with you through those moments. That is our dedication to you as Tallapoosa First. That's what we want to do with everyone that is associated with our church family. Let's look at some words in Scripture. There's some things that I want you truly to remember. Certainly are some words that I want you to remember. It all comes from Proverbs chapter 4. Now, I'm going to go through these very quickly. Don't have to put anything up on the screen. You don't even have to read. I want you to just simply listen. In Proverbs chapter 4, the entire chapter is something worth reading. The first thing that I notice in verse number 1, and I would tell you, Nicole and Cassidy, is give attention. Solomon's writing here and he says, "Hear, O sons, the inclination of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding." Give attention that you may gain understanding. Give attention, not only that you may gain understanding, but give attention to sound doctrine. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, "For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Gain understanding, understand what sound doctrine is, and do not abandon my words. If you look there in verse 5, he says this, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. And then we have in verse 5 some interesting words. The first word there is do not. Do not. As you are acquiring wisdom and as you are acquiring understanding, do not forget. Do not forget what your parents, what this church has invested in you, what your home church, Cassidy, has invested in you. Do not forget that. Do not turn away from the words of your mother or your father or from your churches that have spoken into your life. Do not turn away from that. Do not forsake my words, my wisdom, or my understanding. And then the question is, why? Why should I not do that? Because the wisdom, godly wisdom, and godly understanding, the writer tells us that she will guard you. She will guard you. As we look on, we look down in verses 7 and 8, we notice this acquire wisdom and acquire understanding again. Verse number 7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. I just love these verbs there, acquiring. It is a lifelong pursuit. It is not that you graduate and you can stop there. You have to keep learning. As long as there is breath in our lungs, we are learning. We should be learning. That's the goal of all educators. It's the goal of all Christians is to continue learning the depths of Scripture and how we are to live life together so that people will come to know Christ as Savior, so that people will become stronger in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Acquiring. Get understanding. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, prize her. If we prize this godly wisdom and this godly understanding, we are told that she will exalt you. In verse number 6, if you go back up, it says, love her. Love the wisdom and love the understanding, and she will watch over you. The wisdom, godly wisdom and godly understanding will watch over us if we love her. Then look at the last part of verse 8. She will honor you if you embrace her. To embrace, I want you to capture that vision. You will walk across the stage of your respective high schools and you will grab your diploma. Now, I embraced mine. I did. That clut, I grasped it. It was an embrace. Because it's something that I had earned, and it's something that you have earned. But I want you, once you grab that diploma, and wherever you may go in life, the continued degrees that you will earn in your life, when you grasp that diploma and that degree, wherever you might graduate from college from, I want you to understand and allow that moment of grabbing and embracing what you have earned on your own. I want you to remember about the understanding and the godly wisdom that's here in those Bibles that we have given you. Embrace those. Embrace those just as much as you embrace your diplomas. Embrace them. As we go on and you look in verse number 10, Scripture says, hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. You may say, well, why would I do what you're asking me to do, Mike? Why would I give attention to what my mama and daddy has taught me? Why would I give attention or try to acquire wisdom, godly wisdom, as found in Scripture? Why would I do that? Well, here is an immediate earthly effect. Verse number 10, hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. You want to live a long life? Accept the teachings of Scripture. Apply them to your life. Don't just allow them to be a standalone and say, well, I'll accept them, but I live differently. Live them out every day of your life, and our lives will be many. The days of our lives will be many. Scripture also tells us that as we begin to walk, if we do these things, as we acquire wisdom and acquire understanding and do not turn from these teachings, that when we walk, Our steps will not be impeded. And even if you were to begin to run, which we will, you will, there will be times when you will be running through life. If you hold on to these precepts, if you hold on to these instructions, there in verse number 12, and if you run, you will not stumble. As we turn and look at verse number 13 and following, we begin to see some warnings, however. Verse 13, take hold of instruction, it says. Do not let go. If you were, look what happens. Scripture tells us there that we are not, do not, verse number 14, do not what? Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid that way. Do not pass by that way. Verse 15 goes on to say, is turn away from the way of evil men and wickedness and pass on by it. That is what Scripture tells us to do. It's what it tells you to do as you start out into this big world from your high school graduation. There is a summary there in verse number 15. We are to avoid it and do not pass by it, to turn away from it. The path of the wicked. What is the path of the wicked? In verses 18 and 19, look at that. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. I love driving to work on some mornings. That beautiful sunrise, there is nothing like it as I'm driving toward Buck Cannon. As the sun comes up and begins to hit those clouds and it becomes a bronze, golden. The image that I always remember seeing is that's burned into my brain. You remember the opening segment of Gone with the Wind, or the ending for us older folks? That background of that bronze sunset in the sky. That where the sun is reflecting off of the clouds and it is just beautiful. There's nothing else to say that it's beautiful. That is what the righteous path is like. It is like the light of dawn. Never knowing where it may go to. Never knowing how far it may stretch out and whom it may touch. That is what our paths are like. Those are the paths of the righteous. However, verse number 19 says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. When I was a little kid, I never liked darkness. I was always afraid of it. To a certain degree, how many deer hunters do we have in here? A couple? Well, let me ask you this. How many of you guys that deer hunt, do you just enjoy walking through the woods in the middle of the night, going to your deer stand? Have you ever walked up under about 15 or 20 turkeys roosting? Have you ever heard some coyotes yelling over in the next hollow over where you knew that's where your deer stand was? How many of you wanted to go to your deer stand? When those turkeys start flapping and coming off the roost and it sounds like trees are breaking and going to fall down on you, does it not scare you? Does it scare you? Well, it terrifies me. I mean, you know, you're trying to sneak through the woods, you got your light on, and then all chaos breaks loose. It terrifies me. I guess I'm just a scaredy cat. I don't know. But anyhow, when I was young, and to a certain degree now, even though you may have a loaded gun in your hands, walking through the woods at night is not a fun thing. It's just not. The way of the wicked is like darkness. He goes on and he starts talking in verse number 20. To engage all the senses. Verse number 20. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. There is the eyes. Keep them, my sayings, in your heart. Verse 21. Why are we to do that? For they are life to those who find them. This biblical knowledge, this way of life, is not something that we will ever fully grasp. It is something that we are continually, as Scripture says, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It is something that we are on a continual basis of working out our sanctification in this body. And we should never be satisfied with it. We should never be satisfied with it. These words are like life to those who find them. With all diligence, verse 23, watch over your heart, for from it flows the springs of life. Verse 24 and 25, it says, put away any deceitful speech. Now, I could talk to your mothers and ask them if there's any kind of deceitful speech in you, and they probably say yes. So here it is, moms and dads. You can tell them and remind them of this sermon. Scripture tells us to put away deceitful speech. Put it away. It says, look directly ahead. Then in verse 26, watch the path. Which path am I to watch? The path of my feet. And all your ways will be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left, but you are to turn away from evil. Now, I've said a lot and went through a lot of this chapter. The question is, what does all this mean, Mike? Well, here's where it means a lot to you ladies. The Christian life is a war. 1 Timothy 6:12 tells us to fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Ephesians 6:11 tells you to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 tells you to be sober-minded, be watchful, as your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Then James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 says, submit yourselves to God. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now watch this. In the very same breath, Peter writes, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Isn't that beautiful imagery? Submit yourself to the Lord. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And if you will draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. The Christian life is a war. Where you are going, the colleges that you're going to enter, that you're probably already participating in, you're going to hear all kind of things, both good and bad. You're going to learn about all kinds of things, both current, both past, both and in the future. You're going to hear all kinds of different sides. I would tell you to arm yourself for what you are about to engage. Arm yourself about what you are about to hear. You know, Scripture, the second thing that I would tell you as far as application, Christian life is a war. The second thing is, love the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Love that Bible that we have given you. It is His holy Word. Make His Word a priority in your life. If your education is anything like mine, it is going to be involving a lot of different books that you've never been introduced to. They're going to be rather expensive. And you're going to be reading a lot about other things, about what you're wanting to have a major in. You're going to be reading those books, but I urge you not to fail not to read this book. Many times when we go to college, we forget about our Bibles. And we go off and we engage ourselves in secular education, which is needed. I'm not speaking about that. I have those degrees myself. But what we most often do is neglect the love of this Word and what it can do to transform our lives. So, Christian life is a war, and love the Word of God. The third thing I would tell you to do is to grow in grace. Grow in grace, Cassidy. Grow in grace, Nicole. 2 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know that most people never mature past the point of salvation? Most people in the Baptist faith look at it, we see that once saved, always saved, and that's our fire insurance. God, yes, that is, it is the perseverance of the saints, if you want to wrap that up into a nice doctrine that we Baptists believe. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved is a watered-down version of that, and it's something that is truthful, but there's a lot more behind it. It requires you to continue in your faith. It is not something where you make a decision and then you turn away from that decision thinking you'll come back to it at some later point in time. While that may happen, Scripture warns us that sometimes those who engage in such activity may not have ever made that decision. So grow in grace. Most people never mature past the point of salvation. You are going to grow in college. That's one thing I know. I grew in college. Most of the people here who went to college, they grew in knowledge and understanding in college. You're going to be introduced to all kinds of secular, global, relevant authors and to all types of issues in your classes. I would urge you to do the same in your faith. Become introduced to gentlemen such as the name of G.I. Packer, such as Wayne Grudem. Read The Pilgrim's Progress, which is a Christian classic from John Bunyan. Read C.S. Lewis. Understand what your faith is about. Read those books as well. Do not neglect your faith journey as you are upon your secular journey and how God wants to use you through your gifts and talents in this world. Grow in grace. The Christian life is a war. Love the Word of God. Grow in grace. The fourth thing that I would tell you is invest in a church. Invest in a church. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever, never, ever. You can look at your neighbor and say that. Never, ever. Never, ever leave the local church. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I urge you not to. The university is an organization or an institution that was created by man. The church was an institution created by God Himself. Do not neglect. Do not neglect investing in a local church. God designed corporate worship and preaching of His Word along with the fellowship of His people to be an essential part of grace and love in your life. So don't neglect to invest in a local church. Some people may say, well, I can take a break now and come back later. You can, but you won't be as powerful. You want to be powerful in the faith? Continue investing in the church. Continue investing in brothers and sisters who will speak into your life. And I can assure you, continue to invest in a church who will live life with you. And I can assure you that somewhere down the road, 10, 15 years, maybe even 5, you will be much more powerful then than you are today. Invest in a local church. And the fifth thing that I would tell you to do is to find good friends. Find good friends. Hebrews 12, in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort. Exhort one another, not someday, not occasionally. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of your sin. No battle is to be fought alone. And I can assure you, girls, at some point in time in the near future, you're going to be fighting a battle that you will need other people's help, that you will need people in this church's help. And we are committed to being there with you, to stand beside you, and to walk through these battles with you. The battles of college and life are to be shared with your brothers and sisters so that they might. We have a wealth of knowledge and wisdom in this room. We have people like Miss Tollison, who's been in this church and can give you a vast history of this church. Mr. Don Smith can give you a vast history, not only of the church, he and Mary, they can give you a vast history of Tallapoosa in general. There's a lot to learn from these people. They also have life experiences, different life experiences. I would dare guess, and I would dare say to you, that somewhere in this congregation is someone who has probably experienced anything that you could ever experience in life. And they have remained true to the Lord. They've remained true to the gospel. And they can speak truth into your life. Find good friends. The last thing I would tell you to do is to pray. Above all, pray. A.C. Dixon, he wrote, "When we rely upon an organization, we only get what an organization can do. When we rely upon education, we can only get what education can do. When we rely upon, you name it, we only get whatever you place in that can get." But I want to tell you, ladies, I want to tell you, is when you rely upon the prayer, when you fall down upon your face in front of a holy God and you rely upon that relationship, you can only get in your life what God can do through you. And that's what we desire to see. That is what we desire to see. So pray. Live a life of prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You have your life before you. I've lived the majority of mine. You have the very future staring you in the face. I hope and I pray, as everyone here in this church does, that you would stay committed and that you would be the person whom God has created. That you would find His gifts and talents and use them for the Lord and to earn you money in order to prepare and to take care of your family. It should not be what you want to do, but Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, as we come as a time of invitation now, as we come and get ready.